You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A good Wednesday, everybody, and welcome into it. It's Locked On Vols, your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast each and every day. Got a fun show coming up here for you on a Wednesday. Our staff mini-series takes flight on the defensive side of the football. We will reflect and review on defensive coordinator Tim Banks. Of course, we already spoke on him initially back in February 15th when he was hired, but we will review and reflect and get to know Tim Banks once again and get to hear from Tim Banks, which is Tennessee's defensive coordinator, in today's show. That's coming up in segment one and two. In segment number three, I'm going to welcome back Josh Ward to the show, of course, former host here of Locked On Vols, and one of my buddies from the Sports Animal in Knoxville, hosts of Sports 180 on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Going to get his thoughts on what that press conference was like Monday afternoon, kind of hearing from all the defensive coaches, and get a thought or two about the Tennessee basketball team as it heads into tournament play. That's what's on the docket here today. Again, I'm your host, Eric Kane, a radio personality here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Without further ado, let's get into it. This is Locked On Vols for a Wednesday. Tim Banks was hired February 15th, coming by way of Penn State, where he was the co-defensive coordinator and the safeties coach. He was there for the past five seasons while at Penn State. The Nittany Lions ranked nationally in multiple defensive categories, fifth in sacks. Again, this is over a five-year span. Fifth in sacks, sixth in fewest passing touchdowns allowed, only 70 in five seasons, ninth in yards per play, ninth in forced fumbles, 10th in fewest rushing yards per attempt, 14th in scoring defense, 13th in rushing defense, and 17th in total defense, while it was 25th in passing defense. Again, Tim Banks was not the sole defensive coordinator at Penn State, but he had a heavy hand in developing the game plan, obviously recruiting the players to that program, and he was a guy that was that left on his own and came to Tennessee to get his chance to call plays. But I know he had a lot of help in terms of coaching. I know he wasn't calling the plays at Penn State, but when you look at all those categories defensively that Penn State ranked in the past five seasons when Tim Banks was on staff, not bad. Not bad at all. The ones that really stick out to me is six fewest passing touchdowns allowed and 25th in pass defense and 17th in total defense. Those are the big ones. Of course, Tim Banks comes to Knoxville again by way of Penn State. He was at Illinois for a few seasons. He was at Cincinnati for two. He was at four seasons at Illinois, Cincinnati for two. Three seasons at Central Michigan where he was the sole defensive coordinator calling the plays. That, of course, was his alma mater as well. He's a guy that's been around the block. He's worked with Alex Golish at Illinois. He's known Willie Martinez. Willie Martinez actually coached Tim Banks while at Central Michigan back in the 1994 season. So that is pretty interesting there. And we'll get to Willie Martinez in the coming days, as we will the rest of the defensive staff. We're gonna check on probably Mike Eckler tomorrow, but each day this week and on into the next week, we'll break down an assistant coach. So we'll hear from Willie Martinez. But I thought that was interesting. You've got a defensive coordinator, Tim Banks. He played for now your secondary coach in Willie Martinez. And those two have a relationship, obviously, work well together, having known each other. Banks having played for Martinez before, even though it was a while ago. And the question was asked to Tim Banks to kind of kick things off. Hey, what position are you going to coach? You've coached cornerbacks. You've coached safeties. What position exactly are you going to coach, and vice versa? What about Willie Martinez? Spoiler, it's going to be both. Here is Tim Banks' answer to that question.
To be honest, I'll be working with both. You know, I've coached the back end for a long time, you know, obviously played the position. So obviously having Willie Martinez with us, you know, gives me a lot of flexibility. You know, if I'm training the corners, you know, I feel very comfortable that he can train the safeties and, you know, we'll be on the same page. But, you know, anytime you're dealing with the back end, you want to make sure those guys understand and basically hear one message. You know, we can't have anything lost in translation. So, you know, as much as we both can coach the back end and not necessarily the safeties and the corners, but coaching the DBs, I think it just makes it that much smoother in terms of everything that we want to get done.
What about the personnel here on campus at Tennessee? You've been on the job for almost a month now, and of course, no practices so far. Practice will come in about 2 weeks, again, kicking off March 23rd for Tennessee's spring practice. Orange and white game will be the 24th, pro day, April 24th. Pro day will be March 25th. Little plugs there, but you'll get practice soon enough, but how have you kind of related? How have you kind of evaluated the talent on your roster or lack thereof in certain areas? Kind of how have you been getting a feel for your personnel on this roster? Here is Tim Banks.
I think anytime you're trying to build something, you got to know what parts you have, right? You know, so right now, you know, we're evaluating, you know, everything that these guys obviously did last season. You know, we've been fortunate enough to be able to, you know, get around these guys and see them work a little bit in the weight room and, you know, some different movement activities on the field. You know, so at that point, we're just evaluating, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what they do, how they move. And obviously we'll center the package around it. But right now, that's what we're doing. You know, we're just gathering as much information as we can to make sure when it's time for the lights to come on that we can put these guys in the best possible position to be successful.
And lastly, here in segment number one, the spring install. What exactly is your methodology? How are you going to apply your playbook? How quickly will it be installed? All those questions were asked. Would it be in spring? Would it carry over into summer? Now, how much is it going to be? And I think it really relies on the players and how much they grasp. But here's Tim Banks answering that question as well.
I think just the base, you know, we're always going to put the base in first, you know, and start from the ground up working this thing. You know, as we start to get, you know, more exotic, you know, based on, you know, the appetite that the kids have to be able to digest, you know, some of the more, you know, strenuous mentally things that may be within the package. You know, we'll be able to look at that toward the end of spring would be my guess. But naturally, you want to start from A to B first and work your way to Z. So we want to get the base foundation in, see what these kids can do, see what kind of appetite they have, you know, and then we'll move forward in terms of, you know, putting them in some more what we would deem as exotics.
And I do want to remind you, the clip I played yesterday was from Tim Banks discussing it's going to be a multiple defense. We've talked about that numerous times. Multiple. And I firmly believe you've got to be multiple in today's football or you're going to get left behind. If you run a traditional 3-4, you can't stay in that all game long. Even Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's base defense was a 3-4. But, guys, how many times do we have a do we see, you know, watching those games, five defensive backs on the football field? All the time. You know what that meant? They took a linebacker out. Like, how many times do we see four down linemen, three linebackers? A lot. Very rarely did you see the traditional 3-4. And so you've got to be multiple. Odd and even fronts. Three, four-man fronts, even an Oki front. Put five men down there at points and times. Tim Banks was asked about that. He said, really, it's about evaluating the roster, evaluating what they can and can't do, and kind of spinning it off to that realm. So I thought that would kind of fell in line with the sports or the playbook install for spring here in that last quote that we just heard. So Tim Banks, I was impressed by him. Real quick, we'll hear more from Tim Banks in segment number two. But some takeaways from Monday, I was impressed with him. He commanded the room. Now, keep in mind, none of us were there. We were all digitally there over Zoom. But he commanded the room. He spoke very well. He was very knowledgeable. I think he's really excited about the staff that he and Josh Heupel have assembled for the defensive side of the football. I was impressed by him. Of course, nothing is going to be won or lost until you play games, you know, on the gridiron in the fall. I get all that, but I was impressed with him, and I think he's very knowledgeable, and I think he's a coach that's made a lot of stops. He's kind of gone through the ringer and kind of understands what it means to be successful, and he's coached under a lot of good, you know, head coaches so far, leading himself up to Knoxville. So that was Tim Banks, a couple of quotes from the Monday afternoon press conference. Again, top 25 units as co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach at Penn State the past five seasons. That's a pretty good, you know, pretty good unit to be a part of. Now, Penn State was not great this past year. I know that, but 2020, it was just a weird year for everybody. But nonetheless, coaching history, again, I'll run through this. He was, you know, now he's at Tennessee. He was at Penn State as the co-defensive coordinator, safeties coach, Illinois as defensive coordinator, secondaries coach. He was at Cincinnati as co-DC, defensive backs coach. Central Michigan as defensive coordinator. He's been at Maryland as DB's coach. Maryland as inside linebackers coach. Memphis as DB's coach. Memphis as outside linebackers coach. Bowling Green, he coached the DBs. the defensive backs again. He was a graduate assistant, and he coached the running back for one season, the running backs for one season at Bowling Green. He is a graduate of Central Michigan, 1995, industrial management, and he is 40 years old. So that is Tim Banks. We will hear more from him in segment number two as we continue on with this defensive staff mini-series here on Locked On Vols. Guys, we're talking football now, but it is March Madness. It's tournament season, and you can take care of your baskets and your balls with the best tools for the job. We're talking about our sponsors, Manscaped, the global leaders in male grooming from head to toe. When the clock winds down in March, be clutch and avoid the upset with Manscaped Performance Package to keep all your hair tamed. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the Manscaped movement and start taking care of your business with 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDONCAA for an exclusive offer. LOCKEDONNCAA. Let me say that again. LOCKEDONNCAA for an exclusive offer of 20% off plus you'll get free shipping. Join the Manscaped movement. Take care of your business and don't be left at the altar when it strikes midnight on Cinderella. It's basketball season, it's tournament season, and Manscaped has us covered. Visit manscaped.com, LOCKEDONNCAA, for an exclusive offer. That's Manscaped. And we continue on with this tournament conversation with it being the month of March, and we've been telling you about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. I've told you about the bracket challenge over at BuiltBar.com, where we, the consumers of Built Bar, get to vote on what exactly is the best Built Bar. Just go to the website, BuiltBar.com, click on the bracket challenge, and you will see a bracket with all of our favorite Built Bar treats. Today's matchup, we've got on the left bottom, the bottom left side of the bracket, let me do my directionals here, of the bracket, that quadrant over there, you got German chocolate going up against salted caramel. German chocolate against salted caramel. You vote today, and the winner will take on the cookie dough chunk in the sweetest 16 round later this week. Also voting today, you've got mocha against WC birthday cake. That's mocha against WC birthday cake. The winner of that matchup will take on coconut at a later date. So we're in the first opening rounds, trying to pivot our sweetest 16 matchups for later this week and next week. We're having a whole lot of fun, but don't you forget, BuiltBar.com is where you go to get all the information, and check them out on Twitter as well, at Built_Bar on Twitter. When you head on over to the website, LOCKEDON20, 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Be a part of the fun. Vote for your favorite Built Bar at BuiltBar.com. We're talking Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball, giving you everything you need to know about the Volunteers, but the rest of the sports world, now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski. It's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. That's how I start my day each and every day when I travel from the house to the station at about 5:15 in the morning. I listen to Locked On Today before my show. Subscribe to Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. And moving on with our defensive staff mini-series, continuing on with the Tim Banks conversation. And we're going to play some more audio here before we catch up with Josh Ward to give his thoughts on Tim Banks and the rest of the defensive staff from its introductory press conference on Monday afternoon. A reminder, we will take the time to check out each and every one of these defensive staff members, play some audio, and that will be a segment each, at least one segment to each and every show until we get there. All right, so Tim Banks, a big question was asked, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, man. Henry T, of course, is in the transfer portal. Henry T is likely not to return to Knoxville. It was my understanding that Kovaris Crouch was with the team, was going to give the staff a try during spring practice, and then make his decision on if he was going to remain in the transfer portal or return to Tennessee. That was my thought. And then yesterday, both Tim Banks and Brian Jean-Marie both said that neither one of those guys are with the team right now. Henry T, we already knew that, but Kovaris Crouch not with the team right now. So I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I've said on this podcast, I thought Kovaris Crouch was with the team, working out, going through all that stuff, going to give this team a try in spring, or this staff a try in spring, and then decide from there. So for that, I'm sorry. I was under the impression that he was I think at one point in time he might have been, but nonetheless, according to those coaches Monday afternoon, Kaferis Crouch is not with the team either. I don't know what that means, but you know, we'll have to see. But kind of the common message was to not spend a lot of time on guys who aren't here. I'll give this a listen, or give this a listen. This is Tim Banks when asked if he expects Henry T. and Kaferis Crouch to play linebacker for his defense in 2021.
We don't have a timeline on those guys. You know, they're not here, obviously, at this point. So, you know, we're super excited about the guys that are here in this program that are working. But, you know, we'll figure that out as we go. But right now, we're just concerned with the guys that are here.
Focusing on the guys who are here, but I don't think I'm breaking any news here. If you don't have Henry T., that's a huge loss. Kaferis Crouch, I don't think that he is where he needs to be in terms of playing linebacker in the SEC. But number one, he's a body. Number two, he's an experienced body. Number three, he's still a good athlete. And so the linebacking corps is in trouble right now. We'll talk more about that when we get to Eckler and John Mary in the coming days. But yeah, Kaferis Crouch, we'll have to see. Thought he was with the team, thought he was working out, thought all that, but I guess he's not. So nonetheless, Tennessee very, very thin at the linebacker position. So for Tim Banks, why was the move to come to Knoxville the right move? With everything going on, the NCAA violations looming, or sanctions looming, the roster at 3-7, the transfer portal literally staying alive because of Tennessee with all the guys entering and transferring to Oklahoma and different types of places. Why was this the right move right now? Here's Tim Banks answering that question.
Well, I think just like with any organization, it always starts at the top with Coach Hype. You know, obviously the success he's had at UCF and, you know, obviously as an offensive coordinator, I think speaks for itself, you know, and having a chance to, you know, talk to some of my guys that had a relationship with him and everything that I heard about him being a great man, you know, obviously a great coach, but just a great man was something that intrigued me. And then I think you said it already, when you start to talk about, you know, Tennessee and the success they've had, you know, a lot of programs are talking about what they want to do. And the reality of it is Tennessee has done it. You know, obviously, you know, we know there's some work to be done to get back to where we want to go. But at the end of the day, you know, having a chance to work with great people and having a chance to do it together was just an opportunity that I didn't feel like I could pass up on.
And finally, the last clip I'm going to play here today on this podcast, a Wednesday show. What do you like about Tennessee so far? And what do you like about Knoxville? And how are those two kind of working together? They've been on the job for nearly a month right now. Kind of what are your initial thoughts and initial takeaways from being in Tennessee and being here in Knoxville, Tennessee?
It's just a great place, you know. Obviously, it's to me the thing that I'm really enjoying so far. You know, it still has that small college town feel, you know, but it has some city amenities. You know, I think we'll be able to attract, you know, some of the best student athletes, you know, around the country because, you know, whether we're recruiting in a small town or if you're going to get a city kid, I don't think it'll matter. I think because Knoxville has a little bit for everyone, you know, and obviously when you start to combine it with, you know, playing in a conference like the SEC and having a chance to, you know, get a great education here, you know, I just feel like we have a product that, you know, we'll be able to sell and sell around the country. So it's been awesome, but I'm really enjoying the town feel, but obviously the city amenities is something that, I think will bode well, you know, for the future for all the young men that we're looking for.
Again, that's Tim Banks from Monday's press conference. So Tim Banks, he's your defensive coordinator. It's all going to start with him. He is going to call the defensive plays for the second time in his career. He has not called plays, to my knowledge, other than being the sole defensive coordinator while at Central Michigan back in the 2007 to 2010 years. So it'll be an experiment. Do I think it'll be perfect? No, especially not in year number one. At least on offense, I mean, this roster is not good right now. It's been depleted by transfers. I get all that. But at least on offense, you've got some playmakers. And I'm not saying there's not athletes and playmakers on the defensive side of the football right now on this roster. But like I just pointed out, that linebacking core, it's non-existent right now. That defensive line, yeah, you return a lot, but it was not good in 2020. And I do think it was because of the transition of coach to coach. That secondary didn't take the step that it needed to. And so defense is in trouble right now. Maybe a, you know, fresh voice, fresh new scheme. Maybe that will influx some jubilance in the guys and get them ready for spring practice. No matter what, you know, the coaches are saying that they're all sponges right now. They're all eager to get out there and learn and put to practice what they've been talking about over Zoom and in the classroom onto the football field. So Tim Banks, he is your Tennessee defensive coordinator. Tomorrow we will move on. We will likely talk about Mike Eckler, special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach. You do not want to miss that show. Trust me, he had about three or four quotable nuggets in his press availability on Monday afternoon, and it was pretty, pretty funny. But coming up next, it will be Josh Ward, talking about the Tennessee coaching staff as well as a Tennessee basketball note or two. But before we get to Josh, remember, Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports actions. The NBA has been on hiatus the past couple of nights because of the All-Star break, but it returns tonight. The Memphis Grizzlies will play host to the Wizards. The Spurs going to be on the road playing the Mavericks. The first round of most of these conference tournaments are starting tonight. Of course, at least for the SEC in Nashville, you'll have Texas A&M taking on Vanderbilt. The winner of that game, guys, plays Florida tomorrow. And then obviously the winner of that game, which will likely be Florida, will take on Tennessee Friday afternoon. So tune in, watch Vanderbilt, Texas A&M to see if one of those teams could potentially play Tennessee down the line. But you move on to the Big Ten, Minnesota, Northwestern getting after it. Nebraska, Penn State getting after it tonight. And in the Big 12, Iowa State against 25th-ranked Oklahoma. All that you can get in on, and you can make you some money at BetOnline.ag. Real-time updated odds, props on almost anything you can possibly imagine. It's got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, it's completely free to sign up. When you sign up, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 50% off welcoming bonus on your first deposit. Promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Put your sports knowledge to use and make some coin in return. That's at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Before Josh Ward joins the show for final segments here on a Wednesday, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, how much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, then you need to subscribe right now to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. And joining the show here today on a Wednesday to kind of conclude this this podcast here is Josh Ward. He's the OG of the Locked On Vols podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh_Ward. Josh, how you doing today, my man?
Hey, doing well. Great to be back on.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. And I want to get your thoughts on Monday's press conference from the defensive side of the football. You had Josh Heupel introducing defensive coordinator Tim Banks, and then from there you went position by position, kind of like what Tennessee did a couple weeks ago with the offensive staff, as Josh Heupel continues to kind of get his ducks in a line here his first month, or we'll call it 6 weeks on the job. Big takeaways. What did you kind of think from walking away from that press conference, getting to know a little bit more about Tennessee's assistant coaches on the defensive side of the football?
Well, I think the coaches on the defensive side showed what we had seen from them looking at their resumes, looking at their history coaching, and that is experience. These guys have been around at a number of different jobs. A lot of them have spent a good amount of time in the SEC. I would say most notably there, Roddy Garner, but Willie Martinez is on that list, including some time at Tennessee. There's coordinator experience on the defensive side, which Josh Heupel pointed out, and I think that's all good. How will they work together? What will the chemistry be like? How will they recruit players to that side of the ball? Those are still big questions that will only be answered in time in the future. But the defensive side does bring experience. And, of course, Tim Banks being the defense coordinator is a question as well with him taking on that role. But he has coached at big schools, most recently Penn State, and he understands the job that he has at Tennessee. And it's a challenging side of the ball to be on, I would say, because of what Josh Heupel's offense will be. That the defense will need to create pressure, create takeaways. That'll be a big goal, and they have some coaches with high energy, I think, that will be emphasizing that.
When you look at the assistant coaches that make up on the offensive side of the football to the defensive side of the football, a little bit more pop on that defensive side, and you know, with names like Rodney Garner, Willie Martinez, it's easy to see that pop, whereas there's some guys that we don't really know a whole lot about, but those guys have coached, or for the most part, the majority of that offensive staff has coached together for a couple of years at least. You know, which side of the football, and I know time will tell until you get out there and you play some games and see how they coach in game and whatnot, but you know, which side of the coaching staff, side of the ball, offense or defense, are you more impressed with and how Josh Heupel assembled his inaugural staff?
Well, I would probably just go back to the offensive side and say I'm more comfortable predicting that things will work out because I've seen those guys work together and have success together, some in the SEC, and then, of course, working more together at UCF. Now, Tennessee is not UCF, and UCF at that level in the AAC was one of the best in the conference and in the nation in the Group 5. Tennessee's not at that level right now, but I do expect better quarterback play, which I think should create better offense. How could it not be? I know a lot of fans will respond with. Defensively, I like the individual resume, the history. You know, Brian Jean-Marie with his experience as a coordinator, and he understands, having coached at Michigan, having coached at Texas, the pressure that can come with coaching at a big-time program. Ronnie Gardner knows that. Willie Martinez knows that. So these guys are familiar in the banks, again, having come from Penn State. Those are places with high expectation. Mike Eckler is going to have as high of an expectation for himself and his players as anybody on the staff, probably. So that part you like. But in terms of the group together, I would probably lean just being more comfortable with what I expect to happen on the offensive side.
Welcome to Josh Ward back here on Locked On Vols. And you brought his name up there, Brian Jean-Marie. Really impressed with his resume, impressed with what he had to say on Monday afternoon, kind of getting down to the nuts and bolts of what he looks for in a linebacker. And, man, any way you spin it, that inside linebacker position, it's not good right now. I mean, you don't have numbers whatsoever. How big of a challenge is it going to be for Brian Jean-Marie here, or Mary, excuse me, here in year one until – you kind of get some stability back on the roster and you start building those numbers back up?
Yeah, I think linebacker there on the inside is easily the biggest question personnel-wise. With the players who departed and the players who are returning being so inexperienced or unproven, it's a huge question mark. You like that you have a coach that has a lot of experience and has helped develop there, but to me this is going to come back to recruiting, and there is no immediate fix. And Tennessee's going to play with five defensive backs on the field a lot. So we should point that out in the conversation. But linebackers who are going to be on the field, I don't have one guy right now that I can confidently say he's going to play at a high level in the SEC in 2021. And that is no one's fault. That's just where things are. There are players that have a lot of potential. We've talked on this podcast about Aaron Willis, what he could become as a player. There are still questions about what position guys will even be playing. We've talked about Kamen Marley, but now you have a new coaching staff. So what side of the ball exactly does he where does he fit in with how these coaches will evaluate him? So we need to get answers there, but there's no way around it. As a linebacker with Henry To'o and Quavarius Crouch expected to leave, that just leaves a big gap that has to be filled by players who will have a chance to improve and show what they can do. They just haven't been able to do that yet.
Yeah, and I'll be honest right here, Josh, and maybe this is an oversight by me, but it was my impression in conversations I held at the beginning of the semester, my impression was that Quavarius Crouch was on campus. He was taking classes. He was going to give this staff a try for spring practice. Up until those guys got up there and talked yesterday or on Monday afternoon, I thought Quavarius Crouch was still going to give this team a chance. Though I knew his name was still in the transfer portal. Had that changed, or was your impression that he was always still separated from the team and it was really probably a long shot at returning?
Yeah, I think it was news that he's not working out with the team when the coaches said that to begin the week. So that obviously does not create optimism with the chance of him returning. I'm not going to say that it's absolutely not going to happen, because if I'm the coaches, I would still try to stay in communication. And if he is on campus or if Kovaris is expressing any kind of interest in returning, then I would want him to do that. But they probably want a commitment from him that he's going to be at Tennessee, which I understand. He's still a talented player, and I like Quavarius. I think he's a guy that his attitude was good the 2 years that he played for Tennessee under Jeremy Pruitt, and I don't know what level he can reach. But again, we just talked about the hole that's there at linebacker. I think Tennessee is better off with Quavarius Crouch than with him going somewhere else. So I would be trying to get him to come back, but I would want to make sure, if I'm Tennessee's coaches, that he wants to be at Tennessee. And this is a new time for everybody with the transfer portal. Fans should remember that players can enter the portal and decide to come back. They can enter the portal and still remain on campus while they explore their options, because Tennessee's doing that too. Tennessee is exploring players who are currently on campuses elsewhere that might end up transferring to Tennessee. Maybe not. We'll see. But everybody's trying to figure this out, and Quavarius is one of the players who is trying to do that in his own time. So if he wants to come back, I would welcome him if I'm Tennessee. But I would want him to make sure he wants to be at Tennessee.
Two more questions here for you, Josh, and I'll let you get out of here. One more football question. Mike Eckler, good idea, bad idea to have Tennessee let him talk? If we had that access, assistant coaches, good idea, bad idea to put Mike Eckler out in front of a microphone on a consistent basis?
Great idea. I would give him his own either YouTube channel or maybe IGTV. I mean, it all can go together through the same outlet. So if I'm Ball Football, I'm letting Mike Eckler go. Because I'm guessing when you hand him the mic, his chili's going to be hot every time.
There you go. I see what you did there. Last thing, Josh, pretty broad, man. I know you guys talk it into to nauseam on Sports 180 each and every day from noon to 3 on the Sports Animal in Knoxville. But want to get your thoughts on the Tennessee basketball team, kind of broad, but up, down, up, down, up, down. Tennessee now after the final game of the regular season trending up because you had John Fulkerson come back and put forth a really strong game. And you had Tennessee look like it was going to get run out of the gym early, but then come back and really handle that game in the second half to where it wasn't even close. Your thoughts on Tennessee basketball, John Fulkerson, all that entire team heading into the SEC tournament, a 4 seed, getting that double bye, probably likely to play Florida again, Tennessee entering the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I think this past Sunday Tennessee did what it needed to, and that was get a win against Florida and work through some of its issues, including in the first half. And I know they're while the middle of that first half was going on, it didn't look good for Tennessee, and fans understandably expressed a lot of concern, and some were saying, okay, that's it. But to me, this team still believes that it can have success, and the players have not given up. It doesn't mean their effort's been 100% every time, but I don't think you find that often enough. I think off the court, the players have continued to buy in. I think they believe in one another. They support one another. I don't think there's a chemistry issue. I think they just need to play better. So, yeah, let's see if another almost full week of practice can get them ready for the start of SEC tournament play. Because one thing that I thought was encouraging was after the win against Florida, John Fulkerson raved about how good practice was last week. And that, again, reiterates that the players are buying in, I think, trying to do everything they can to win and probably feeling a little better physically because they had that rest last week. So they still have a number of things to work out, and Florida was without Trey Mann. If he was playing on Sunday, maybe it's a different outcome. I don't know. We might find out on Friday in a grudge match between the two sides. But this team can still accomplish a lot in the postseason, but they have to play better. They still are not playing at the highest level that they can, the level we saw against Kansas and against Missouri and in non-conference play at the start of the year.
Our former host, now our favorite guest here on Locked On Vols, his name is Josh Ward. Thanks, man.
You got it. Thanks, sir.
Big thanks to Josh Ward, the OG of the Locked On Vols podcast, at Josh Ward on Twitter. If you want to give him a follow, appreciate his analysis, and for always joining the show here to help me out and to talk with you guys again. I really, really do appreciate it. That's going to do it here for a Wednesday show, everybody. We started officially the defensive staff miniseries. We took a look at defensive coordinator, safeties coach Tim Banks, his prior stops, and what he plans to bring to the table here on Rocky Top. Tomorrow, let's do it. We'll go ahead and get into Mike Eckler. We'll play some of those crazy clips, and we'll talk more about Tennessee's special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach. So that'll do it here for a Wednesday show. Continue to follow this podcast at Locked On Vols, @_Caner. Subscribe, rate, review, and share each and every day. It's Locked On Vols, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network.